Okay, so thank you, Davida, and to all the powers that be at Monday Night Learning for putting together such a special program, both for tonight, obviously, in the memory of Velvel, and also just throughout this whole Pesach series, the pre-Pesach series of how many, three or four Shiurim? Three? Okay, getting ready to go before Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzos in just about 2 weeks' time. Okay, so on that very note, we could ask maybe a meta question on the Monday night learning series of why we're having Shiurim pre-Pesach. I mean, why are we spending so much time learning Torah together in order to prepare for Pesach? So we know the answer to that question, and the answer is that we start preparing for Pesach in terms of the laws that we learn 30 days in advance of Pesach. Shloshim yom kodem achag, 30 days in advance of the holiday, we start to study the laws of the holiday that is about to come upon us. So tonight, I would like to take a look with all of you, take a deeper look into that law, meaning into that concept of studying the laws of Pesach in specific, prior to the Chag, 30 days in advance, try to understand what that concept is all about, and then try to, at the end, try to connect it back to our experience and try, hopefully, to be able to use that and uplift us to have a better Chag HaPesach this year, in light of the learning that we're going to do together both tonight and that we've done in the past, and that will follow as well. So let's take a look at source number one. Let's get the discussion started as follows. So we're going to learn a short Gemara together. It's Maseches Pesachim Daf Vav Amud Aleph. So I'll read as follows. But Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rav made the following statement. Source number one. Hamefarish vehayotze b'shayara. So if one is getting up to go out to sea, he or she is going to go on a ship. Kodem shloshim yom ein zakuk leva'er. Toch shloshim yom zakuk leva'er. So we know that there's an obligation to search and destroy one's chametz prior to the holiday of Pesach. So Rav makes a very interesting statement. If you're going to get up and kind of go abroad before Pesach, you're leaving your home, you're going to go out to sea. So there's a certain dividing line which dictates whether you have the obligation to search and destroy your chametz. That dividing line is 30 days. If you leave prior to 30 days of Pesach, so then you don't have to destroy your chametz. Rather, you can rely on the bittul, the nullification of the chametz that we're all going to recite on Erev Pesach. You can rely on that bittul in order to suffice for getting rid of your chametz. You don't actually have to physically go after the chametz, search for it, and destroy it. But if you go abroad within 30 days of Pesach, so then before you leave, you have to make sure to take care of one responsibility. And that's to search your entire house and make sure that there's no chametz lying around. So that dividing point between having to search and being exempt from searching is 30 days. 30 days. Why would it be 30 days? So the Gemara asked that question. Hani shloshim yom mai avid tahu. Second line. Why would it be that the dividing mark is 30 days? So the Gemara says, Kedisanya, we have the following brisa. Shoalin v'dorshin behilchos ha-pesach kodam ha-pesach shloshim yom. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer shtei shabbosos. We have a debate between the Tanaim as to from when we begin to study the laws of Pesach. According to the Chachamim, the Tanakama, so we begin to study the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance. And that's what's recorded in Shulchan Aruch. That's the way that we practice nowadays as well. There's also a dissenting opinion, that of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who thought that we start to study the laws from specifically the day of Rosh Chodesh, 15 days in advance of Pesach. But we paskin like the first opinion, like the opinion of the Tanakama, that we do it 30 days in advance. And so what the Gemara is saying here is that because we study the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance of Pesach, so therefore the dividing mark between one who's obligated to search and destroy his chametz and one who is exempt from that search and destruction is 30 days. There's a parallel 30 days. So we take 30 days from studying laws and we apply that to searching and destroying chametz. Okay. Now the obvious question is, what do these two have to do with each other? Right? This seems a little arbitrary. It seems a little strange. Why would I think that because I study the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance of Pesach, so therefore what's going to dictate whether I have to destroy my chametz is also 30 days? What does one have to do with the other? It seems a little bit puzzling. So you might have said, just from reading the Gemara, that, yeah, you're right. The connection is it's tenuous. You don't really have a real link between these two laws. It's true, you don't have a real link between the study of the laws of Pesach for 30 days and destroying chametz within 30 days. Not a real link. But we had to find some measure in time to mark, to divide between one who's exempt from searching for chametz and one who's obligated to search and destroy. So Rav came along and said, look, I have another halacha where there's a shear that makes sense, meaning there's some time measurement that makes sense to me, so I'm going to take it and apply it to this law. But that would seem rather arbitrary, right? That doesn't seem to make much sense. And if you look at source number 2 in the tour, so he writes as follows. He makes the connection even clearer. He says, Tanya, we have the Braisa, Shoalin Vidorshin Behilchos Pesach Kodam HaPesach Shloshin Yom. So we learn the laws of Pesach in advance of Pesach for 30 days. Hilkach, which means therefore, Shloshin Yom Kodam HaPesach Chal Alav Chovas Biur Ka'asher Avair. Since I learned the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance of Pesach, therefore, as a result, I'm obligated to search and destroy my chametz within 30 days of Pesach. So according to the Tur, there's a clear causal connection between these two laws. You can't get away with kind of the shrugging off the question by saying, oh yeah, it was rather arbitrary. Because according to the Tur, it's not arbitrary. There's a clear causal connection between the two laws that we have in front of us. On the one hand, the requirement to study the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance. And on the other hand, the requirement to search and destroy for your chametz 30 days in advance of Pesach. According to the Tur, those two are interlinked. And the Taz poses the same question that we already began with in the Gemara, in source number 3. So the Taz, Rav David Halevi, he writes as follows. Bitur Kasuv, so it's written in the Tur, Hilkach Shloshin Yom Kodam HaPesach Chal Alav Chovas HaBiur. Therefore, 30 days in advance of Pesach, one has to search and destroy his or her chametz. V'hu Gemara Perek Hama Davav. So he's quoting from the Gemara that we read together in source number 1. V'kashya. The Taz says, I have the following question. My shaychus yesh mizeh lezeh detala zeh bezeh. What's the relevance of these two requirements that we're going to make them dependent one on the other? He's basically just formulating the question that we've already posed. Why would I think that because I study the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance, therefore 30 days is going to be the marker of when I'm obligated to destroy my chametz and when I'm not obligated? What's the connection between the two? So that's question number 1 on our agenda for tonight. So let's keep that in the back of our mind. So that's question number 1. Let's move to question number 2. So from the opening Gemara, the one that we read first, it seems pretty clear that the requirement to study the laws of Pesach sets in 30 days in advance of the holiday. But if you take a look at another Gemara, there seems to be some tension with regard to that number of 30 days. Take a look at source number 4. This is the last Gemara in Maseches Megillah, the very last daf. So it says, "Vaydaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael." We have that's the pasuk that we read every single Yom Tov. Right? We read from Parshas Emor, which describes all of the Moadim, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, and it wraps up by saying, "Vaydaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael." That Moshe taught the Moadim to the entire nation. So the Gemara derives from there, "Mitzvasan sheyihiyu korinosan kol echad ve'echad bizmano." So there's a specific mitzvah to read about the holiday in your Torah portion during the holiday that you experience. So on Pesach, we read about the holiday of Pesach. We read all about the Korban Pesach and all about Yitzias Mitzrayim. And on Sukkot, we read about the holiday of Sukkot. We read about Chag HaSukkos, Ta'asu Lachem Shiras Yomim. And on Shavuos, we also read about the Chag of Shavuos from this portion in Emor. Then the Gemara quotes another Braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, source number 4. Moshe tikin lahem liYisrael. So Moshe made the following institution or the following establishment. Sheyehu shoalin vidorshin b'inyano shel yom. Then on each holiday, we should study the laws that relate to that day. Hilchos Pesach b'Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres b'Atzeres, and Hilchos Chag b'Chag. So on Pesach, in just 2 weeks, so according to this Gemara, we're supposed to, instead of just learning whatever we learn during the rest of the year, whether it be Navi on Monday night learning, or whether it be so Gemara Brachos, I know is usually learned in the back. I don't know if that Chavrus is here now. But, right, so whatever we're usually learning on Monday night. So on Pesach, take a break and start learning about Pesach. right? Either open up the Haggadah, or open up Maseches Pesachim, or open up whatever it has to do with Pesach. It could be Parshas Bo and B'Shalach, whatever it is, learn about Pesach. And on Shavuos, learn about the Chag of Shavuos. And on Sukkot, the same thing. So Moshe made that Hakana, that establishment, that we are obligated to study the laws of the holiday when we experience that holiday. So from this Gemara, there's a little bit of attention. Because it seems from this Gemara that the obligation, the requirement to study the laws of a holiday applies specifically during the holiday. It doesn't apply in advance of the holiday. It applies specifically during. Hilchos Pesach b'Pesach. But what we learned in the first Gemara from Pesachim Vav Amud Aleph is that there's actually a requirement to study the laws of Pesach, not only during the holiday of Pesach, but even 30 days in advance of Pesach. So how do we reconcile this tension between these two requirements? They seem to be driving at totally different conclusions. Is there a requirement to study the laws during the holiday, or is there a requirement to study the laws in advance of the holiday? So that's actually the question that the Pre-Chadash, Rav Chizkia di Silva, he was lived in the 1700s, so he writes as follows in source number 5. Umihu ika lemidak ala. We can ask or we can infer the following question from this Gemara. So he's going to quote the Gemara that we just read, and then in the very last line, on the third line of the source, he says, Umashma, it's implied from here, that dafka bepesach, that it's specifically during the holiday of Pesach that we study the laws of Pesach. Aval mikame Pesach, but prior to, before Pesach, lo. We don't study the laws of Pesach before Pesach, we study them on Pesach. So how are we going to reconcile the tension between these two Gemaras? That's question number two. So just to wrap up the two questions with which we began. Question number one, what is the connection between the requirement to study for 30 days and the obligation to search and destroy chametz? And on the surface, they seem to have nothing to do with each other. And that's what the Taz says. Question number one. Question number two, how are we going to reconcile the tension between two Gemaras that we find on our hands? One that says that we study the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance, and another that says that we study the laws of Pesach during the holiday of Pesach. How do we reconcile those two? Those are our two questions. So in order to, You have a point?
I was going to ask, because it says that not just Pesach, it doesn't just point out Pesach, but it points out the other
two holidays, yeah.
I would say the question is, why are we saying that the Pesach is the one that we have to do 30 days before? Why wouldn't the other ones also have it?
Fantastic question. Fantastic. I was actually thinking of including that as a third question. So Barachaki, I'm not Barachaki Vanta to me, but I'm happy we're on the same page. So it's a fantastic question. What Jason, you said?
Yes.
So what Jason's pointing out is that the Gemara in Pesachim makes it sound as if this requirement to study laws in advance of a holiday is particular to Pesach. But from the Gemara in Megillah, it seems like the requirement to study the laws of the holiday is not specific to Pesach, but rather applies to all of the Yamim Tovim. So which one is it? Is this a requirement in Pesach, or is it a requirement that applies to all? So that's another very interesting point that stems from the Gemara, and we're going to try to answer that question as well. So we could add that to the list too. Okay, good. So we have three questions, including Jason. So in order to get to the bottom of some of these issues, we have to take a step back and ask ourselves a more basic question, which is, what is this whole requirement, what's this all about in the first place? Why would there be a requirement to study the laws of Pesach in advance? What's the purpose? What purpose is study of the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance coming to accomplish? What's the purpose? So one potential avenue to explore would emerge from source number 6, which is an interesting Gemara from Avodah Zarah. Do we have any Rabbi Schwartz Avodah Zarah goers here?
No, Rabbi Schwartz is doing Torah.
Oh, really? He finished Avodah Zarah?
He finished Avodah Zarah a couple years ago.
Really? Okay, fine. Okay, I'm way behind the times.
Okay.
Wait, the Daf is doing Avodah Zarah now?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay, so then I can hold you accountable then. Okay, good. Okay, so Avodah Zarah, hey, I'm at base. Okay, so I don't know if we're going to read it inside. Maybe we should if it's a Daf. But okay, so the opening Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah tells us that Jews are prohibited from doing business with idol worshippers 3 days in advance of the holidays, quote unquote, of the idol worshippers. Now, why would that be the case? So the reasoning is pretty obvious, right? If we engage in business with the idol worshippers, so then we're concerned that whatever we sell to them 3 days in advance of their holiday is going to be used for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, and we want to refrain from having our items be used for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. We don't want to facilitate Avodah Zarah in any way. Yeah, it's tangential, but yeah.
Just one quick question.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Avodah Zarah? Are we talking about people that actually worship idols, or people that are Gentiles?
Right. So that's a good general question whenever it comes to topics of Avodah Zarah, and it's usually a debate. So for now, let's assume that it's real idol worship,
like
pagan idol worship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. But good. Very, very good question. Yeah. It's usually a debate, and okay. We'll discuss. Yeah. We can discuss it after. All right. So that's the opening mission. Okay. So the Gemara on Daf Hey Amid Beis wants to know, why do we draw the line at 3 days? Why is it 3 days? So let's take a look. 3 days. Right. So we mean there's a 3-day preparation for Matan Torah. So too, maybe it should be a 3-day, you're saying maybe the idol worshippers are based on that also? Or
connection to a religion, or going into a religion.
Right. Right, that's interesting. For sure, interesting point about the 3 days prior to Matan Torah. Matan Torah would for sure be like a paradigm of preparation. It's not the direction that the Gemara goes in, but it's an interesting point though. Yeah, for sure. So let's see where the Gemara takes it. Okay. So source number 6: Gimel Yamim Asur Lasis V'Lasis Imahem. So it's prohibited to do business 3 days in advance of the holiday of idol worshippers. So the Gemara asks: Umi Ba'inan Kulei Hai? Do we really need 3 days? And then let's skip the next two lines because I don't want to get off track too much. So in the third line, it's going to say Hacha de lehakrava ba'inan tlasa yome. So the Gemara assumes as follows. Let's wrap this up outside because we're not really looking at the whole Gemara. So the Gemara assumes that when people are preparing a sacrifice, then they're going to need 3 days in order to prepare that sacrifice. So if idol worshippers are preparing, something to sacrifice to their gods, so they're going to need 3 days to make sure that whatever they're sacrificing is free of any blemish. It's perfect. It's pristine. We can put it up on the altar to serve the god, right? So if that's the case, then 3 days in advance, we have to be concerned that they're going to use that which they buy from us for the purpose of idol worship. Then the Gemara asks another interesting question. This is on the fourth line in the source, in source number 6. Second word on the line. Ula hakrava sagi betlasa yome? Is it really true that 3 days suffice to prepare for sacrifices? Vahatanya, don't we have the following brisa? Shoalim behilchos ha-pesach kodem ha-pesach shloshim yom. Rashbag omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, shtei shabasos. So that's a very familiar brisa. That's the one with which we began, right? So the Gemara quotes our beloved brisa to tell us that there's some contradiction going on here. So the Gemara is saying that idol worshippers need 3 days in advance in order to prepare their sacrifices. And then the Gemara asks, is 3 days going to be sufficient? I thought that we have a rule that we study the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance. So there's a contradiction. Does anybody see what the contradiction would be? What's the assumption of the Gemara? Why are we studying the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance, according to this reasoning? What? Exactly. Right, that's what you're going to say also? Perfect. So the assumption of the Gemara here is that we're learning the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance to prepare for the Korban Pesach. So if that's the case, then we have a contradiction. Because the Braisa Misachim, the one with which we began, tells us that we need 30 days to prepare for a Korban. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that we only need 3 days to prepare for a Korban. So which is it, 3 or 30? There seems to be a contradiction. So then the Gemara wraps up with a conclusion that's really not relevant for us, but we'll say very quickly. Anan de shchichei mumin de paslei afilu bedokin shebaayin, last line in source number 6. But inan tlasen yomin, inhu de mechusar iver islehu betlasa yome sage. So what does that mean? Basically, when it comes to the laws of Jewish sacrifices, there are way, way, way more potential blemishes that could disqualify the sacrifice. So therefore, you need 30 days in advance to make sure that this sacrifice sacrifice is going to meet all the requirements that are necessary in order to offer it to the Ribono Shel Olam. But when it comes to non-Jewish sacrifices, right, meaning those that were used by Ovdei Avodah Zarah, by idol worshippers, so their laws, for their laws, there are very few blemishes that would actually disqualify the korban from being sacrificed. So for them, 3 days is sufficient to prepare, whereas for us, we would need 30 days. So again, we need 30 days for the Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach has to be pristine, has to be perfect. Then there are very many blemishes from which we have to protect the Korban. Whereas for idol worshippers, 3 days suffice, because their sacrifices don't have to be protected from as many blemishes. Question.
I'm talking about theoretical study or actually dealing with the animal. Because if it's theoretical study, what's different when I sell the goy an animal or not? I mean, it's Kehula Mishku was only about the week before, so clearly talking about, you know, Dorosh Mishol and it's intellectual study.
Right.
So I don't actually mean the animal at hand. So that's comparable to what the Goyim are doing. Then what difference does it make if they actually sell in 3 days? They are selling their books, they are time.
Right, so I guess either you would say that no, actually you do have the animal on hand, and that's why, and you have to watch it, you have to protect it, or you would say that because the laws of blemishes are so much more extensive with regard to Jewish law, so you're going to need way more time to study it. Right.
What was that command?
Right, but that's for Pesach Mitzrayim, right? Right, but for other holidays of Pesach, so you know you have to bring a korban Pesach, but it's
require the animal 30 days.
Right, correct, but it's saying but you have to be able to make sure that your animal is going to be pristine. So if that means that you're going to need it 30 days in advance, then okay. Practically it's what you have to do. Okay, so we're not going to get too far afield, but the point that we're trying to walk away with from this Gemara was the assumption that the requirement to study the laws of Pesach is rooted in preparing for the Korban Pesach. The only reason to study the laws is to make sure that I fulfill the obligation of Korban Pesach in the proper manner. So if that's the case, then the nature of the requirement to study these laws is very pragmatic, right? The reason why I have to know the laws is to facilitate some other performance. Meaning I can only give the Korban Pesach if I know the laws that pertain to it. So I have to study the laws in order to make sure that the Korban is good. So the requirement here that's on our hands, it's pragmatic, it's practical. The only reason why I need to study the laws is in order to make sure that I can do something else. In source number 7, so the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo, he takes the same basic approach to this requirement and he expands it a little bit. He wants to know, actually playing off basically Jason's question, what accounts for the difference between Pesach and Sukkot? Why do I need 30 days for Pesach, whereas for Sukkot it seems that I don't need 30 days? So he says like this, really interesting point that I think will speak to a lot of us. So in source number 7, Vo'od yash lomar, d'dinei Pesach al kol panim tzarech lehodiam la'am kodam la'Pesach 30 yom. So we have to notify, we have to instruct the nation of the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance. Kedei sheyihye lahem shahus rav lehisasek betchinas hachitim va'afias matzah v'hag'alas kelim ubi'ur chametz. So that people have a lot of time, so that they have sufficient time to engage in all the intricate details of preparation for Pesach, like grinding up flour to make matzos, and like kashering all of your kelim, which I'm so sure many of us are doing, and like getting rid of your chametz if you started cleaning your apartment already. We know that there's so much involved. There's so much involved in getting ready for Pesach that we would need 30 days in order to make sure that we're able to do all of it. Because if we wait too long, if we wait until Pesach, then the show is over, right? Then we're in trouble, right? Once you have the chametz on Pesach, it's no good. Okay. So that's the reason why you would need 30 days specifically for Pesach. But for Sukkot, what do you have to do for Sukkot? So you go out and you buy Dalet Minim, right? What else do you have to do? You have to build your sukkah? Okay, so you have canvas sukkahs nowadays, right? So it doesn't take so long to do, right? So the Beis Yosef ends up saying that for Sukkot, you know, you take 1-2 days, you study all the laws, you can get it all done, chick-chack, you're done with your preparation for Sukkot. But with regard to Pesach, So there's so many laws that we have to know, so many things that we have to do, that we need a lot more time in order to make sure that our preparation for Pesach is going to be legitimate and going to be helpful. So, but what you see at the core of the Beis Yosef, and here's really the fundamental point, at the core of the Beis Yosef is the same understanding as what we saw from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. According to our inference from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and according to the Beis Yosef, the common denominator between both of them is that the whole requirement to study the laws is pragmatic. The only reason why I need to know the laws is to make sure that I can fulfill the mitzvos, that I can prepare all of the details for Pesach, that's the Beis Yosef, or that I can give the Korban Pesach, that's what's most obvious from the Gemara. But what's the common denominator between the two is that this law, meaning this concept of studying the laws of Pesach in advance, is pragmatic in nature. So if we stop right there, and we try to address the questions with which we began, so I think what we'll see is that from this perspective, we might be able to answer one of the questions, but I think that the other question will still remain unresolved. So how does it go? So remember, what were the two questions that we asked? The first one, well, let's actually start with the second one. The second one was, how do we deal with the tension between the two Gemaras about studying the halachos of Pesach? One of them says to study 30 days in advance, and another one says to study specifically during the holiday. So how do we resolve that tension? So according to the Beis Yosef, and the impression that we get from the Gemara, there's no tension whatsoever. These are two totally, totally different requirements. On the one hand, we have a requirement to prepare for Pesach. That's the requirement to study the laws 30 days in advance. On the other hand, we have a requirement to experience the holiday in its best and most proper fashion. And in order to do that, so we have to study the laws during the holiday itself. So studying the laws in advance of the Chag is preparatory, it's pragmatic, whereas studying the laws during the Chag itself is something to lend more character, lend more experience, lend more inspiration to our observance of the Chag. So there's no tension whatsoever according to the Beis Yosef. However, I don't think that the Beis Yosef answers the first question with which we began, which was what? The first source. Why would it be that because I study the laws 30 days in advance, therefore that's when I'm obligated to search and destroy chametz? If the whole point of studying the halachos is just to facilitate other mitzvos, then that doesn't tell me at all that I should search and destroy chametz 30 days in advance. They still have nothing to do with each other. And then we're left still with a question unresolved. We need to prod a little bit further. We need to go a little bit further to try to understand how to make sense of this connection from the Gemara in source number one. Why it would be that because we study the laws 30 days in advance, therefore I'm obligated to search and destroy only 30 days in advance, but if I leave before 30 days, then I don't have that obligation. That's where we stand right now. So in the short time that we have left, I'd like to suggest perhaps another alternative approach from that of the earlier Gemara from Avodah Zarah and the Beis Yosef. And this approach is really rooted in many comments of Rashi. Rashi has a fascinating take on this topic. So if you look at source number 8, Rashi comments on the Gemara in Pesachim, the one that we read at first. He comments like this, Kodem Shloshim Yom. So if I leave 30 days before Pesach, then I'm not obligated to search and destroy. Kodem Shloshim Yom LePesach. Before 30 days of Pesach. Ulik Haman, and later on, Mifarish, the Gemara will explain, that these 30 days are Keneged Sheshow Alin BeHilchos HaPesach Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom. The reason why I'm obligated to search and destroy 30 days in advance in specific is because I'm required to learn the halachos of Pesach 30 days in advance. Then Rashi adds, Umeaz chal alav lihizaher bitzorche ha-Pesach. From that time, from the time of 30 days, chal alav, it sets in upon him lihizaher Bitzorche Pesach, to be wary about, to be careful of the needs of Pesach. Huh. So I think what Rashi said, yeah, what do you think?
I
You have a thought?
It kind of answers the question I was having before you went into this one.
Okay.
In which we were saying that, well, the 30 days before is because, well, the preparation of the Korban Pesach. But when I'm thinking about that, I'm like, Sukkos, granted, it's a different type of restriction, but you have to build the sukkah a certain way, you have to have the Arba Aminim have to come from Moses. How are you all going to, where you built it? There are a lot of restrictions about 8 days of Sukkos. To say that it's all based on the 30 days walking, all just based on the Chametz component, and not what we do with the Seder, the Arkosis, I just couldn't reconcile that. But when I think about that, I feel like when we go into Pesach, you're so much more mindful as it gets closer and closer. Ah. We need to be, because it's an extra shmira that really needs to be on top of you that, exactly. That differentiates it from Sukkot.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, so that's no, exactly. So let's. I wanna play up on that extra shmira a little bit. So, if we're paying careful attention to Rashi's language here in source number 8, so I think what Rashi is saying is that this time period of 30 days is not just what we would call a stam time period. It's not just 30 days on your calendar that you kind of mark off day by day. It's just like any other 30 days. Just like you have 30 days before Pesach, you also have 30 days in the middle of Tammuz, and you also have 30 days, you know, in the middle of Kislev, or in the middle of Shvat. It's not like that. Before Pesach, these 30 days actually have a unique status. They have a character. I mean, this time period is infused with a character. What is that character? Chal alav lihi zaher b'tzorchei ha-Pesach. 30 days in advance of Pesach marks a certain bracketed time period, which is called, according to Rashi, the preparatory period for Pesach. The preparatory period for Pesach. That's what 30 days in advance of Pesach is. And if you think I'm making too much of Rashi's language, so if you turn to source number 10, we're not going to get into the context of Rashi's comment now because we're a little behind on time. But Rashi uses the exact same language. Chala azharas Pesach alav. I bolded it for you. Chala azharas Pesach alav. Right? The azharas Pesach, the requirement to be careful about Pesach, is triggered. It's registered. It's set in upon him. What Rashi's saying here is that these 30 days are not just a regular old, same old 30 days from any other 30 days of the year. These 30 days have a character that other 30-day periods don't have. And that character is the preparatory period for Pesach. So let's go one step further. We can even show another Rashi that proves this point. Source number 11. So the Gemara in Sukkah. The Mishnah in Sukkah discusses whether I have to, I mean, what types of sukkos are going to be kosher to sit in. And Beis Shammai has an interesting opinion. It's in source number 11. Sukkah Yeshana, an old sukkah, meaning a sukkah that's been built already, that's been constructed for a while. It wasn't constructed immediately prior to Sukkos. Beis Shammai Poslin, uBeis Hillel Machshirin. So we actually hold like Beis Hillel, but Beis Shammai says that this type of sukkah is pasul. Ve'ezo hi sukkah Yeshana. What's an example of in a quote-unquote old sukkah? Kol she'asa'a kodem l'chag shloshim yom. Any sukkah that was constructed in advance of 30 days of the chag. And if you look at Rashi, he adds in a line that is found nowhere in the Mishnah, nowhere in the Gemara. And it's seemingly gratuitous, but Rashi adds it in. Beis Shammai Poslin, source number 12, Deba'u Sukkah Lishma, because Beis Shammai need a sukkah that's constructed specifically for the sake of Sukkos, Vizo Stam Na'asis. But if I made a sukkah, let's say, you know, right now, if I made a sukkah for this upcoming Sukkos in 2018, so when I make a sukkah now, I can't consider that for the purpose of Sukkos, because I'm probably just using it to use it as a hut in my backyard. Mm-hmm. Right? So V'ilu Toch Shloshim L'chag Hava, but if I wait until September and then I construct my sukkah 30 days within 30 days of Sukkos, then look at this line in Rashi. Kivan deshoalin behilchos hachag kodem lachag shloshim yom, then the sukkah is good. Because I study the laws of Sukkos 30 days in advance of Sukkos, that's what determines that my sukkah that I build within 30 days of Sukkos is a good sukkah. That is for the purpose of the holiday of Sukkos. Again, Rashi adds it in seemingly for no reason. Why do you have to tell us that we study the laws of Sukkos 30 days in advance? Rather, what is Rashi really saying across all three of these sources, in Psachim, in Shabbos, in Maseches Sukkah? He's making the same point. that 30 days in advance of a holiday, according to Rashi, it's all holidays, it's not just Pesach. 30 days in advance of a holiday constitutes a unique period of time. It has a character. It's infused with some type of unique character. And that's what we would call the preparatory period for whatever Chag we're discussing. So it could be Pesach, it could be Sukkot, and it's going to have ramifications. When we discuss Sukkot, so the Sukkah that I build within 30 days is now going to be considered for the purpose of the holiday of Sukkot. Because that's the time period in which I find myself. I find myself in a time period that's related to this holiday. That's a preparatory period for the holiday. And so too when it comes to Pesach. And now we can answer our original question. Why is it the case that the 30-day mark of when I'm obligated to search for and destroy my chametz is based on when I study the laws of Pesach? Because both of these concepts are stemming from one shared root. What is that? It's the 30-day time period. It's the period of preparation for Pesach. Chal alav lihizaher b'tzorchei ha-Pesach. Because 30 days in advance of Pesach, I'm obligated to prepare. So therefore, that's also when my obligation to search for and destroy chametz sets in. And that's when I have to study the laws of Pesach. These are all coming from one source. And that's what the Tur meant when he said that there was a causative connection between these two. Because I study the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance, that reflects that this time period has a unique character. That this time period is one of preparation for Pesach. And therefore, as a result, I also am obligated to search for and destroy my chametz within 30 days of Pesach, but not prior to 30 days. Now, there are a couple of other interesting practical applications to this idea. If you take a look at source number 15, the Maharil, who is the Maharil is basically like a forefather for Ashkenazic Minhagim. So very interesting, so very important sefer. So the Maharil says, we're not going to read it inside, but basically what the Maharil says is that within 30 days of Pesach, when one fills up his or her jugs of wine, so they have to be careful that they use very clean jugs. They use very clean bottles. Either totally new jugs, or ones that have been rinsed and washed and soaked, to make sure that no chametz stays attached to those jugs. Where did that come from? Why within 30 days? Right? What's the source for this practice of the Maharil? So I think it's rooted in the same idea that Rashi is expressing. Because the 30-day period prior to Pesach is that period of preparation, it has that character, so therefore that's going to play out in many other practical applications of preparation, such as how I fill up my wine. The Meiri in source number 16, he extends this requirement much further. He says that not only are we required to study the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance, but we are required to engage in all efforts to prepare for the Chag, meaning any preparation that we have to do. So I know I have to clean out my car, right? So the Meiri is telling me that when I clean out my car, I'm actually fulfilling the requirement of 30 days in advance of Pesach. It's not specifically learning Torah like on a Monday night learning. That's certainly a very good way to fulfill the requirement. But I could do so in many other ways. In any preparation that I take, that's also a satisfying the same requirement. And in source number 17, the Mishnah Brura, so this is even like the most modern of poskim. Nonetheless, they also take this approach. Kasvu ho'achronim, source number 17. So the late commentaries say, Kol shloshim yom tzarech la'ayin b'chol davar ha'osa shelo yishayer b'chametz. So many of us, you know, maybe we have this practice, or our mothers have this practice. So whenever, you know, I'm not allowed to take chametz into, you know, at least I wasn't allowed to when I was living at home. Right, so I'm not allowed to take chametz into any room other than the kitchen. Right? Once we clean for Pesach, no chametz all over the place. Why? Because this Mishnah Brura. I mean, I don't know if that was really the reason, but nonetheless, right? This Mishnah Brura is saying the same thing. Right? That we have to be careful about where we leave our chametz to make sure that we don't have any remnants of chametz that we're going to forget about or that are going to last into the Chag of Pesach, and then we're going to be in trouble. And the Mishnah Brura says that this requirement sets in specifically 30 days in advance. Again, we have this number 30 days. Where is this coming from? Is it coming from the requirement to study Hilchos Pesach 30 days in advance? If so, then what's the connection between the two? Clearly, what's going on here is a common denominator between all of these practical applications. And that is that this time period, 30 days prior to Pesach, it's unique. It's unique. It has a character of preparation. During this time period, we feel like we need to prepare for the Chag that is about to come upon us. And it's source number 18, so this really hits a climax. We know in the Haggadah, so we have the Medrash of Yachol Meirosh Chodesh, that we could have thought that we should start recounting the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim even from the day of Rosh Chodesh. From Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I mean, we should do it right now. We should start having Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. You should have a Seder every night. Stay up until 2 o'clock every single night. Right? Okay, so thankfully the member says, no. Right? Yachol Meirosh Chodesh, Hamanomar, Bayomahu. No, only on the 15th. I Bayomahu, Yachol Bayom, I could have thought to do it during the day. Right? So Tamalomar, that you only do it at night, Bishah Shemata Umaror Munachim Lefanecha. What was the Medrash thinking when it said that we could have recounted the story, we could have told the story of Yisipur Yitzias Mitzrayim on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? How could you tell the story of Yisipur Yitzias Mitzrayim on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? The whole story has to do with the 15th. That's when we left. How could you think to start telling the story on the first of the month? So you might say, oh yeah, it's a throwaway, right? It doesn't really mean that we thought that we were going to say that we were going to start telling the story on Rosh Chodesh. It was just trying to, you know, get you along the journey until you found out that really you're supposed to do it on the 15th. But maybe in light of what we've been discussing tonight, we can actually have a better understanding of what the Medrash is trying to say. Why would I have thought to start telling the story even on Rosh Chodesh prior to the Chag of Pesach itself, before I'm even involved in the Chag of Pesach? Mm-hmm. Specifically because this time period has the character that we've developed. If 30 days in advance of the holiday, or according to the other opinion, 15, which is probably what this Medrash is going like, so then if that time period has the character of preparing for Pesach, so it's almost considered like that's a quasi-period of Pesach. Of course, we're not obligated to eat matzah during this time, and we're not prohibited from eating chametz, and all of the laws of Pesach don't set in yet because we're not actually engaged in the holiday of Pesach. But we could have thought that this time period has a quasi-nature to it of a period of Pesach. And therefore, we would start telling the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what we've seen, just before we get to the last 5 minutes, we began with the halacha, that we studied the laws of Pesach 30 days in advance. And we asked, what's the connection between that and the obligation to search for and destroy chametz 30 days in advance? And we developed two possible approaches. The first one was from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and also the Beis Yosef, that the whole requirement to study the laws in advance is pragmatic. It's in order to facilitate, it's in order to assist us in the performance of mitzvos and other details that are going to lead us into the Chag. But we also developed an alternative approach, which had a lot of evidence from Rashi, that it's not all pragmatic. What's going on here is that the 30-day period has a unique character, and that plays out in many, many different areas. It has numerous manifestations, foremost of which is the obligation to study the laws 30 days in advance, because this time period is our time to prepare for Pesach. And that's how we could have thought, Yachol Meirosh Chodesh, we could have thought to start telling the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim even before Pesach arrives. So I just want to conclude maybe with a couple of thoughts that I think stem from this more, you know, legal halachic discussion, but really can carry us and hopefully add a little bit to our experience both of this time and also of Pesach. So if you stop to think, so we just discussed this medrash in the Haggadah that we could have thought to start telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim from the first day of Nisan, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But of course we know, like we said already, that in conclusion, that's not the case. We're going to wait another 2 weeks until we experience the Seder together and tell the story and stay up late into the night, re-experiencing the supremely inspiring moment and journey of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're going to wait another 2 weeks. So why is that? Why is it that we wait until the night of Pesach? So the Haggadah says, "B'shash ematza umaror munachim lefanecha." Why? Because the whole point of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is in order to put ourselves back in the shoes of our ancestors. We are actually reliving this journey, leaving Mitzrayim towards Eretz Canaan, towards Eretz Israel. We're actually reliving this journey. And if that's the case, if we're really going to experience this, like someone either hearing the story for the first time or reliving it for the first time with all of that excitement, right, and all of that jubilation, so then that can only take place at the exact time. Right? At the precise time. B'shash ematzah umaror munachim lefanecha. At the time when you're actually experiencing the matzah and the maror together. On the night of the 15th, when you are about to leave Mitzrayim, that's the only time when you can actually have that real type of re-experience. And it's halach ma'ana, yeah. So, and in addition to that, this night, which is so intuitive to all of us, it's almost like we don't need to bring evidence to this conclusion. It's such a powerful night. The impact of the night, it leaves a lasting impression on us, even going forwards in the Chag. My Rebbe, Rabbi Rosenzweig from YU, likes to quote a Netziv, which distinguishes between Pesach and Sukkot. If you look in the Torah, they're presented in totally different ways, and it's fascinating. Sukkot is presented as almost like an eight-day holiday, where each day is its own unit. Right, the Gemara says about Sukkot that chalukin v'korban osehen. Each day had a different korban. And that's the primary reason why we say a full hallel each day of Sukkot. Because each day of Sukkot is its own unit. But Pesach is the exact opposite. Pesach is really like a one day or even one night holiday that then lasts for 7 days. It extends forward. That's why we don't have a hallel after the first day. Because Pesach is all about the climax. It's all about that powerful impact that we're going to experience on the night of the Seder. And that impact lasts for 7 days. It has an aftermath. And what I would like to suggest is that maybe, in light of what we've discussed tonight, that impact doesn't only have a lingering effect, it doesn't only have an aftermath, but it also has a preparation. It's that impact that spills over 30 days in advance, so much so that it can characterize the time that precedes it as time of quasi-time of Pesach. It's almost like Pesach has already arrived, despite the fact that the 15th of Nisan hasn't yet hit. And then that explains Jason's question perfectly. Why does the Gemara stress Pesach so much more than the other Chagim? Why Pesach as opposed to Sukkot and Shavuos? Because it's specifically Pesach that has this Leil HaSeder, this night of powerful, lasting impact that is really unparalleled in all other areas of halakha and all other areas of Jewish experience. It's the one night of the year where we go to bed without saying the full Kriya Shema, where we really feel like we are actually leaving Mitzrayim under the guard and under the protection of the Ribono Shel Olam himself. It's that lasting, powerful impact that not only is responsible for the aftermath of the Chag lasting into the future, but is also responsible for creating this time period in advance of 30 days that we can actually characterize as a time of Pesach. And that's what we've discussed throughout the night tonight. So hopefully we can take these ideas and take our preparation seriously and meaningfully. And hopefully the more that we invest, the more we can make that climactic night is where we can make it what it's really supposed to be. So thank you everyone for joining us tonight, and Chag Kasher v'Sameach.